Hello, Nerdy Legion. Thank you for listening to Comic Talk today. As usual, I am Dustin, bringing you your Comic Talk headlines for May 1st, 2020. My apologies for this one being late, but things happen, and that's that. Real quick, though, note on the housekeeping side of things. Again, we are only going to be having one episode next week, with my girlfriend's birthday being May the 4th, Star Wars Day. That means Tuesday's episode will not be happening. So, that being said, let's get into the news. Let's talk TV streaming. We have, actually, TV streaming might be our smallest section for the entire episode. It's about the same size as gaming and comic books. So both gaming comic books are the same size-ish as TV streaming, though I bet TV streaming brings us a lot more conversation. First up in TV streaming, we have an update on The Flash. Grant Gustin was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, and they were discussing the hard fact, as Grant Gustin puts it, that season 8 and season 9 were in discussions before the lockdown, which means we are very likely going to be seeing at least one more season, though I would venture a guess to say that we're even more likely to see The Flash go for 10 seasons. So beyond 10, I feel like you're on borrowed time, but I think The Flash is strong enough to get up to season 10. So that is pretty awesome that at least 8 and 9 are in the works. That's what we've got there, though. Next is a real quick one from The Terror. It has officially been renewed for a third season, though the premise for the new season has yet to be revealed. So there's that. Also in the vein of renewals, The Boys on Amazon has officially been renewed for its third season as well, long before we're likely to be seeing season 2. So they're just really, really excited about this show. And after watching season 1, I can understand why. This one, I would be surprised at this point, if nothing changes, I would be surprised if this doesn't go at least 5 seasons. So again, just the confirmation that we're at least getting into our third season is really reassuring for my conjecture there. That's all we have on that one. And then our final piece in TV streaming has to do with Spawn. And Spawn is going to be one that comes up a couple of times in this episode. So we have the Sam and Twitch live action series is being made. Todd McFarlane has said that a pilot is in the works. The script has been written by Kevin Smith. Apparently, it is a spec script, though, so how much of Kevin Smith's writing will be in the end product very much remains to be seen, if any. But it is a thing that is happening. McFarlane has, it sounds like, some sort of money to do the filming of the pilot, and then once that's done, he's going to be shopping it around. But it also sounds like before the pilot is actually finished, he's already shopping it around to networks and platforms. So this one is very much in development. McFarlane is pushing real hard to take advantage of that longest running artist-owned comic book IP that the world record he just set. So that's pretty freaking cool. That is not, again, the last time we're going to be hearing from McFarlane and his number one creation, but first we're going to transition into movies. I'm not going to be getting into the Spawn piece until the very end-ish of this section, so stay tuned all the way through. But starting us off is a little business in movies. We have the official announcement. I don't know, like, I heard it from a different place than my regular sources before I then confirmed this through my regular sources that Universal Studios kind of just shot themselves in the foot. Universal Studios made a statement, a public press release or something, stating that they are, once everything starts to head towards a new normal, that they are going to continue to release their movies to video on demand, as well as their theatrical releases. Though, we'll get into that in just a minute, so let's put a pin there. Hearing the announcement, AMC Movie Theaters, which is the largest theater chain in the country, though also the one that is the closest to bankruptcy right now, so kind of take with that what you will. AMC Theaters responded by saying they are not going to be playing Universal movies in their theaters once again we get back to some semblance of normal where we can go to movie theaters. There's this big, long, like, explanation for why they did this, but effectively they're just not going to do Universal movies because you can't do both. You can't have a theatrical release and a video on demand release. That's just not fair, basically, is what they said. So in following with that, at first Cineworld or Regal Cinemas specifically said that, you know, AMC's reaction was out of line and blah, blah, blah. But now Cineworld, who owns Regal Cinemas, has stated that they are going to be following suit with AMC. They will not be showing Universal Pictures movies in their theaters once we hit, again, a new normal, whatever that's going to look like, so that we can go to the theater. So very interesting. And then so, pulling the pin back out, in the official language of the release, they said that they're going to be doing video on demand as well when that platform makes sense. What exactly that means very much remains to be seen, but if they get enough movie theaters reacting the way AMC did, what that likely means is they're going to forego the time it takes to go from theater to physical release, physical home release. They're just going to go straight from theater to video on demand. This is just my conjecture. I doubt we will see many, if any, movies released both in theaters and on video on demand once we can go back to theaters, once theaters open back up for business. Because, again, they did put that language in their release saying that when it's appropriate or when it works. I can't remember exactly the wordage, but it's something along those lines. So if it doesn't work out monetarily for them to make money, then they're not going to do it. It's that simple. So very interesting piece to start off the movie section. Now we're moving over to Spy versus Spy. We just got the announcement that, I'm reading names. Rawson Marshall Thurber, who did Red Notice, is in talks with Imagine Entertainment to direct the Spy vs. Spy movie. Also in the announcement is that Ron Howard and Brian Glazer are on the production staff for this movie. So very interesting, very good direction to be starting off in with that production staff. And hopefully, I'm not super familiar with Ross and Marshall Thurber's work, but hopefully because Ron Howard's name is attached to this, and honestly, Brian Glazer, that they'll find an appropriate director. We'll just leave it there. Next, we're talking about Spider-Man 3. We have Charlie Cox has done quite a few interviews recently and has been squashing rumors about his appearance in Spider-Man 3. So, according to Cox, he is not going to be in the movie. That's not to say that Daredevil, the character of Daredevil, or even Matt Murdock, won't be in it. It's just he's not going to be the one under the mask or the one behind the glasses. And it sounds like there was a rumor as well, and this isn't going to be in the rumor section, but there was a rumor as well that Feige is looking to recast the character. That, though, I think spawns from the comments that Charlie Cox is making in these interviews. So, at least we know that one rumor is not coming to fruition, though the rumor mill has kind of shifted away from Cox and over to She-Hulk being in Spider-Man. So, yeah, we're just gonna move on. next, we're talking about Transformers. We got another announcement for a director for this movie. Transformers is getting a prequel movie. It's going to be computer animated. Josh Cooley will be directing. It's also going to hopefully get a theatrical release. And it is going to be a prequel, presumably. This has not been explicitly stated, though. It's been explicitly stated that it's not going to be a prequel to the Michael Bay movies. So again, presumably it will be a prequel to the original series, which is interesting. It's going to take place exclusively on Cybertron. And the script will be penned by Ant-Man and the Wasp writers Andrew Barner and Gabriel Ferrari. So, that's also a great track to start out on. Next, we're talking about The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. The Stephen King book is getting a theatrical treatment. Christy Hall, who co-created I Am Not Okay With This on Netflix, has been brought in by Village Roadshow to write the script for the film adaptation. That is all that has been announced officially, so we don't know who production staff is, and we don't know if she's going to be directing as well as writing, though that does seem to be in the cards. Next, we're talking about Keanu Reeves. More specifically, his two big movies that were set to come out next year, namely Matrix 4 and John Wick 4. They were both, again, supposed to come out on the same day, which was May 4th of 2021. That has been changed, which was kind of inevitable. I feel like once it kind of made its rounds for a while, that we go, oh wait, no, we don't want to go against the Matrix. That's really like stupid, right? So John Wick has officially changed their release date for the theatrical release of the movie, because they said this, there's been a number of reasons, but the initial reason that they said was because, well, Keanu has obligations to the Matrix before he has obligations to us, and so he's going to be filming the Matrix during the time we would have to be filming in order for us to make that May release. So because of that, they have moved back, and also because eventually it came out that they went, yeah, we kind of messed up, and we made that announcement and went, oh, we're gonna have to change this. So the new release date for John Wick 4 is almost an entire year back from where it was. No, it is an entire year back. It went from May 21st of 2021 to May 22nd of 2022. That's where we sit there. Next, we're talking Spawn again. Like I said, that was not the only time we were hearing from Spawn, but also in these interviews that McFarlane has been doing, he has said that there is another 90 minute film in the works, animated again, much like the HBO series, though that's all he has said about it. He's doing some of the cell animation for the movie. It's very likely not going to be getting a theatrical release, but he is also shopping this one around to get proper funding to make it. But again, very much in the process of being made already on his own dime, because that's just the kind of dude Todd McFarlane is. And then our final piece for movies has to do with Disney, like we always do at least once. Hercules is the next movie on the slate to be live actionized. And then this is a growing list. I wish I had written down. I didn't have the room, though. So I wish I had written down all of the lists in order of where we're at right now with their live action adaptations. But the Russos are officially going to be producing this movie. They will not be the Russos, as in the Russo brothers, as in the guys who made Avengers, Infinity War, and Endgame. Those guys, they're going to be producing this for Disney, but they will not be directing, because they have said that they will be too busy to direct, which again is going to start feeding rumors about why they're so busy. That's all we have for that stuff, guys. Let's talk rumors. Rumors, first and foremost, we're talking about Ultimatum. Now, there are a number of rumors about what this is going to be, but there have been some hints dropped on the social medias from people in power over at Marvel and the MCU to kind of tease Ultimatum. Now, Ultimatum means two different things in comic books. It could mean the really mediocre story that we got from Jeff Loeb in the early or in the mid to late aughts, or it could be the underground liberated, totally integrated mobile army to unite mankind, which happened in the 80s. There's rumors about both of these happening in the MCU, specifically starting with the Falcon and Winter Soldier series, though the more credible rumors are saying that it is going to be the mobile army version and not the Jeff Loeb story version. Though somehow both rumors are kind of lending a little bit towards Dr. Doom being the one behind them. So that could be a very interesting introduction to that character. But if we do get the Dr. Doom angle, then that might also swing us a little bit further into the Loeb story that maybe shouldn't be adapted to film. I don't know. It's just a rumor. We're going to move on. That's all we got there. Next, we're talking about Namor. There are more rumors about Namor the Submariner being introduced into the MCU in the very near future. Now we have a very interesting timeline that they're apparently going to be following. First, he's going to be lightly introduced somehow in the Eternals, which is the initial set of rumors. And then we're going to see him again in Doctor Strange 2. And then we're going to see him in a larger, more predominant role in Black Panther 2 as the main villain. Again, this is kind of a rumor to tie together all of the rumors that we've been hearing about Namor over the last few months. So it kind of seems a little too tidy and also kind of seems a little too busy to be everything that they're trying to make it sound like. Though I do believe we're going to see him in Eternals. I believe there will be some sort of cameo of some sort, be it in the post-credit scene or what. Be it in the post-credit scene or what have you. And then I also believe there is a strong possibility for him to be in Black Panther 2, the Doctor Strange 2. I don't know how that one sits. Next in rumors, we're talking about The Flash. There is a recasting going on in Camp Flash for the movie, the Muschietti-directed movie. And it's not who you think. It's not, in fact, Barry Allen. How it does seem to be Iris, though. Iris West is rumored to be getting the recasting treatment. The original actress who played her, that wasn't in the official cinematic release of the Justice League, but apparently was in the director's cut of the Justice League. I didn't see the director's cut. I have the director's cut, and I just haven't watched it. Yeah, that's how much I liked it. Kiersey Clemons, who played the role originally, apparently still can be in this role. She just has to fight to keep it. Again, this is just a rumor. Don't know how true it is. I don't know how much leg this one has, again, because if they're going to recast anyone in this movie, I feel like it's going to be Ezra Miller. But we don't know that for certain. We just know they want to make the dang movie. Next, we're talking about Deadpool 4. That's right. There are rumors about Deadpool 4, and we haven't even officially been announced for a Deadpool 3 yet. Deadpool 4, though, because if you are Marvel Cinematic Universe, then you have to be planning years and years and years ahead, right? So the rumor goes that in Deadpool 4, they want it to be a team-up movie between Deadpool and Spider-Man. This one doesn't have a lot of legs for multiple reasons, but this one has the most fan excitement, I would imagine, because that is a thing that happened in the comic books. So if you put Tom Holland and Ryan Reynolds in a movie together as their costumed superhero versions, I would imagine you're going to get a lot of fanboy love. That being said, that's all we really have on that one. Next, we're moving over to Ghost Rider. We have more rumors. This is just the episode of follow-up rumors, I guess. More rumors about Ghost Rider. Now, apparently, the rumors are stating that it is all but official that Keanu Reeves is going to be playing Ghost Rider, and not just any Ghost Rider, but the Johnny Blaze version of Ghost Rider in the MCU in the very near future, probably somewhere mid-Phase 5. That's what we've got on that one. We have two rumors left to go, and then we're finally to the end of this long, long episode. Next is a rumor about Zack Snyder. Not the Snyder Cut, though, because of the Snyder Cut, it would seem. Warner Brothers is rumored to be playing with the idea to give Snyder a new DC property to direct. what property that might be, who knows. If this is a stand-in, who knows. But the rumor does go on to say that if this happens, it will not be a proper DCEU movie. It will be one of their quote-unquote black label movies, much like The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix was. This will be another movie that doesn't have any larger effect on the other movies at all. Because of the nature of Snyder's previous work in the DCEU and how it has split the fan base so hard, presumably that's why they want, if they're going to give him a movie, it will be a black label movie. So that is what we have there. Now we're talking just a real quick one for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 as we're heading out the door. We have new rumors saying that not only are they looking to bring Schwarzenegger in, but also Harrison Ford. Only the difference will be Harrison Ford will be a legitimate villain in Volume 3, if the rumors are to be believed. That does it for this episode of Headlines Nerds. For a more in-depth conversation on comics and comic culture, then you can jump over to nerdylegion.com for all of the other podcasts we offer on the subject. Or to go deeper into these nerdy bits, plus much more nerd action, then you can join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. Thanks for listening, nerds, and we'll see you next time.